online right now at Facebook and YouTube, we're glad to have you joining us as well. And I lost track of when you were talking. Did you say that it's not going to happen next week online? Okay, so at the movies, since we're showing clips, the online copyright laws don't allow us to show it online. So if you want a fresh live message, you got to get to the house. If you're online, you will see a rerun of another service. So we're glad to have you though today. So, and everybody in the house today, how are y'all? Okay? Great. Ladies, how was it on Monday night? I saw a video. There was some line dancing at the altar. Come on. My wife was up here shaking some things. And just an overall, there she is right there. It just looked like a fantastic time. I was going to peek in, but I couldn't make it. But it's a full house of ladies, and y'all had such a good time. We're so thankful that you're able to join us for that. And we hope to do it again soon. And men, we're in the works of planning a man night, so be ready for that. If you have a Bible or a phone or a tablet or something, you'd like to turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. That's really one of the core scriptures I want to use today. But I want to talk to you about fighting for the middle. Fighting for the middle. When I was a kid, we had a big bench in the back seat of our car, and we would go on a road trip, and I have a sister that's 2 years older than me. And this was before car seats and bucket seats and seat belts. I mean, it probably was a seat belt, but we didn't wear them. And so that meant that back bench was just a huge wonderland, you know, on our vacations, road trips. Anybody go on a road trip when you're kids and fighting over the back seat, fighting over the middle? And we would create an imaginary line or something, and we'd just be fighting. We'd be going, who knows where, grandparents' house or going to Colorado or, you know, wherever. And my sister and I would fight over the middle and trying to claim that territory for ourselves. And if the other one was too close to us, we would, you know, fuss and bicker and poke and pinch. And then inevitably, my dad's hand would come over and just start trying to grab something, you know, like trying to grab a leg or an arm. And if y'all don't stop fighting, I'm going to pull this car over. And there's going to be some spanking going on at the side of the road. My parents didn't count to 10, or I mean, maybe each lick. That was the only thing we counted, was how many licks. For some reason, we called them licks, but yeah, that was what we did, you know. And they would say things like, "If you don't stop, we're going to turn around. We're not going to go to Disney World or whatever, if y'all don't stop fighting." It's crazy, because we're fighting over the middle, and that was something we did. But today, I want to talk to you about fighting for the middle, to defend it, to make sure you have it, because it's so, so important. Jesus, in John, the 17th chapter, prays this elaborate, beautiful prayer, and there's a part of Jesus's prayer that has yet to be answered in 2021. I mean, you'd have thought if Jesus prayed a prayer, it would have been done immediately. But there's a part of Jesus' prayer that to this day has yet to be answered. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the answer to that prayer. The prayer was, in case you're unfamiliar, was, "Father, let these," talking about the church, "let them be one as you and I are one, so that the world may see that I am from you, that you sent me." So this is a powerful prayer from Jesus, that the church would be one, that there wouldn't be divisions and angst and brokenness inside of his believers, his followers. Instead, let us be one. And he said, so much so that it would reflect the oneness of God, which is inseparable. You can't separate God. So let us be one like that. And here's the powerful thing. When we are one, he said, the world would see that, and it would confirm that Jesus was from God. So, you know, I know you probably like me, you think, well, you know, if God would do some miracles, you know, if God would give me $1 million, you know, or whatever, that would prove that he is his God, that he is powerful and awesome. But Jesus said, no, the world's going to know that I'm real and that I'm the Savior because my people are one. When they're one, great things happen. And there are pieces of that that are happening. It's not like the church is completely divided. But in fact, this Thursday, I met on our hill up here at our outdoor venue with 15 other pastors in our area, and we prayed on top of the hill. It was a beautiful time of prayer of pastors from local churches getting together and praying and lifting up and confessing sin and asking for each other to pray for. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. So God's church coming together to be one. I want to make sure that we fight for that, that there is middle ground. You know, sometimes people think, well, middle ground is compromise. Middle ground is not what we really want. We want them to just come to our side. Oh, I'm glad you came to church today. No amens on that one, but I know what you're thinking, because we're all humans. But my whole point today is to give you a picture from the Bible that the middle is actually a beautiful thing. The middle is where God is. The middle is where reconciliation happens. That's where the presence of God is. In the Old Testament, the presence of God made himself known to humans in the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, where you've heard of the Ark. It's this glorious box with two cherubim on top that are facing inward. And in the middle of the two cherubims was called the mercy seat. And this is where the presence of God dwelt, was in the mercy seat. Well, I don't know about you, but I thought for years that the angels were looking at each other, but they weren't. They were looking in the same direction, but they were looking at the presence of God, not each other. And so I think that really tells us from the very beginning, the Old Testament, that our unity does not come when we look to each other. Instead, our unity comes when we seek the face of God in the middle of us. The middle. I want to fight for the middle. I want to make sure there's a middle where God can show up. Tommy Tenney, in his book, Answering God's Prayer, says, Jesus' prayer that his disciples may be one isn't about me and it isn't about you. It's about preserving the middle ground between us where we meet God himself. In the Old Testament, people had this very strange culture of, well, they had many strange things they did back in the Old Testament. One of the things they did if they were going to make a covenant with each other is that they would take animals and cut them in half and separate the halves, and then the two people making the covenant would walk in between those animals, and they would make a pact in between the halves of the animal. So strange, right? Today in our culture, we get a pen and we sign a piece of paper, and that's how we make a covenant with somebody. We sign a piece of paper. That's a contract, a binding agreement. In this day and time, it was much more intense. It was much more heavy. This is what they were saying. I'm making a pact with you in between these halves of these animals. We're in the middle of this. And I'm making a pact with you that if I break this covenant, may I be torn in pieces like this animal is torn in pieces. That's how tight this covenant is. If I break this covenant, you have permission to tear me in half. And the other person is saying the same thing. You have permission to tear me in half if I break the covenant. That's a serious covenant. Well, God is about to bless Abram, a man named Abram, and he says, I'm going to bless your kids. You're going to be strong. You're going to live a long life. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be blessed wherever you go, wherever you come, wherever you go. He didn't have kids. Abram didn't have kids. He's like, how's this going to happen? And God says, you're going to have so many kids, it's going to be like looking up to the sky and see all those stars. That's how many kids, that's how long your family's going to live. So many generations. Look at the sand of the sea. See all those granules of sand? That's like your family. So many. How's that going to happen? I don't have one kid yet. And so God says, I'll make a covenant with you. And I want you to follow this tradition. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 9th verse, the Lord told him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Okay. So Abram presented all of these to him and killed them. And then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves on each side. This is the tradition that they had. And so Abram was to walk in between these animals with God and make a covenant there so that he would receive these blessings from God. He was ready for it. He knew this. And so he said, okay, this is a big deal. Let's do this. He cuts the animals, puts them on the side, and then a darkness falls over the land, and he goes to sleep. It says in Genesis 15, 17, after the sun went down and darkness fell, look at this, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day. Incredible. Something is very interesting about this, and I think we have to see this. This is a glorious picture of God and a glorious picture foreshadowing Jesus in the very first book of the Bible. Instead of Abram waking up and walking through the animal with God, he wakes up and he sees God, this flaming torch. This is a sign of God. It's hard to contain God, but this is the presence of God, this fiery torch that's in between these animals. Abram recognizes that God is in between the animals by himself. And God says, I'm making a covenant. Abram's on the sideline. God is in the middle of these animals. What God is saying is that I am making a covenant with you. And that if I don't keep my part of the covenant, you can cut me into pieces. But he's also saying this to Abram. If you don't keep your part of the covenant, you can cut me into pieces. Now, I want you to think about what that means in terms of why Jesus came to this planet. Jesus came in person to this planet because Abram and all the other humans after Abram failed to keep their part of the covenant. And because God made this covenant with Abram that if you fail to keep the covenant, you can cut me to pieces. That's why Jesus came to this earth. And that's why he went to the cross. On the cross, Jesus gives his life, and he is literally cut into pieces and nailed up to the cross because he's a covenant keeper and because he loves you that much. And he's a perfect God, and he's a lovely God, and he takes on your brokenness. It's the part we should play. We should be the ones cut into pieces, but instead, God goes in the middle. God's in the middle. And that's why we want to preserve the middle, because that's where God is. It's an incredible thing. So some people may ask, well, is the blessing of God conditional, or is it unconditional? And Timothy Keller says this beautifully. Are the blessings of God conditional or unconditional? Yes. Yes. Because of the cross, Jesus Christ absolutely fulfilled the conditions of the law so that God could love you absolutely unconditionally. Now he's calling everybody that's listening to me today, everybody that's online, everybody that's in the house today. If you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to the promises that he gave to Abram, eternal life and blessing and strength and relationship with God forever, not because you have figured it out and you've done the work yourself, but because Jesus did the work for you. Put your trust in Jesus and you receive the promises of God. Such a beautiful thing. But there's something I want to go back and look at. That we could talk about that part of the message forever. That's the good news, right? But there's something that happened that I think is very important when Abraham, or at this point his name was Abram, when he cut the animals in half and he put them on each side. Genesis 15 and 11. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. The vultures are a symbol of the devil, of Satan, that is coming to do everything he can to remove the possibility of God and man coming together. And so the vultures come down and try to destroy the sacrifice. But what's interesting is that when it comes to this principle, the devil didn't have to destroy both sides. The devil just had to destroy one side so that there would no longer be a middle ground. If one side is gone, there's no middle. You have to have both sides to create space for God to be in and for God to meet in. And so this is the principle that we want to fight for, that the devil is continually trying to destroy the middle ground so that us, the people of God, the followers of God, humanity, doesn't create space for God to be in and to dwell in. So he's going to use everything he can to divide us and separate us so that God is not meeting in between us. Jesus knew the same concept, Matthew 18, 20. You've heard this scripture so many times, but maybe you didn't realize the middle, all right? Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There I am in the middle of them. And so there are ideological, theological, methodology, political things that are trying to pull the church apart, and there are physical things trying to pull the believers apart. COVID-19 came into our lives in 2020 and was like a heavyweight champion force of darkness that is trying to knock out the middle ground between us. Physically, just don't meet. Don't get together. Quit being physically in close proximity to each other. I mean, just the basic, practical, you can't be around each other physically. And that has wreaked havoc in the church and has caused people to not be close to one another and be around each other. And so if you're struggling with this and you're trying to figure out how to move forward, I want to encourage you that we have to regain our middle ground. We need to keep getting together in person. Keep getting pushed. You have to fight for this. I want you to have that vision of Abram fighting the vultures out of the way. This is what we have to do. We have to fight for it. Because the vultures are going to keep trying to destroy the middle ground. Now, you shouldn't do that. You know, you should stay away from them. Don't do that. That's the darkness coming into our thinking, saying we shouldn't have middle ground. We shouldn't be together physically. And so we have to push, keep pushing. And it's not just Sunday morning, but it's, I told our small group when we started meeting that, man, we love this. We're all sitting in the room. We're all talking. We're sharing, you know, our life stories and stuff like that. Talking about ourselves, I said, well, you know, next time we meet, there's going to be little voices in your head going, yeah, I'm too tired today. I'm not ready. You know, it went a little long last time, or the chips were stale. You know, whatever it is that and the devil's going to tell you everything possible to try to keep you from getting together. Why? Because he knows when you get together, you create the middle space for the presence of God to come be with you. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, that's what God says. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in the middle, in the space that you created. When Jesus was crucified on that cross, he was in the middle between two thieves. One representing people that don't come to Christ and one that does come to Christ. At the very end of his life there, he's in the middle. He's in between. He's between heaven and earth. when he's hanging on the cross. Jesus is in the middle. God loves the middle ground. God's found in the middle ground. But I also want to encourage you and teach you and maybe correct you a little bit before we dismiss. That it's not just a physical thing, but it can be an opinion thing, a political thing, a theological thing, that the devil is trying every way possible to divide the church and to cut into the church. Well, you voted for this person. Well, you voted for that person. You want me to get a vaccine. I don't want to get a vaccine. You want it to be mandated. I don't want it to be mandated. Come on, I'm going to step on some toes today. I'm going to just get up in your business today, okay? The devil doesn't care anything about vaccines. He just knows that if there's a way to divide the church, he's going to jump on that train and go as far as he can on that train. So we have to fight. No! No! Get away, vulture. Get away, buzzard. We're going to keep getting together. We're going to keep not looking to each other, not trying to get them to come to my side, but we're going to keep looking at God in the middle of us so that we will come closer to him, we come closer to each other. I'd love to have just about three or four people help me just for a second, if you could just stand to your feet, just wherever you are. All right, David's back there. We have one right here. We have one right here. And okay, we have one. Oh, okay, all men. All right. Irene, would you come stand right here in the front right here? And Irene is going to be God, okay? She represents God. And everybody else, for those of you online, we have people scattered across the room. Okay, Bobby, I want you to take a step towards God. Rick, I want you to take a step toward God. I want you to take a step toward God. I want you to take a step toward God. Okay, keep coming. David's far from God. He's a long way. Bobby's far. Y'all keep walking. Come on. And you're looking at God. Rick, you're close enough. You're holy right now, okay? You're there. All right. You're coming closer. You're coming closer. You're coming closer. Yeah, keep coming closer. You're looking in the middle. You're looking to God. You're looking to... Okay, stop just for a second. That's good right there. I want y'all to see what happens when everybody comes and they're looking at God. Everybody's coming closer to God. What happens to the proximity to themselves? The closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. Now, if you start looking at each other over here and you stop looking at God, then you're going to be bickering and fighting and complaining and all that. But if you keep your eyes centered in the middle towards God, then he is the answer to all the angst and all the trouble and all the difficulty and all the disagreements. It's God that is at the center, at the middle. And so that's why we have to fight for this idea of middle ground. It's not compromise. It's not settling. It's not being weak. It is creating a space, a place for the presence of God to be at the center of the church family. Okay, thank you guys. Y'all did a great job. And ladies, we have to fight for the middle. Band, come on up and help me close this out. We got to fight for the middle, and this is a fight. Now, I know there's a lot of division, and there's a lot of heaviness, and there's a lot of trouble, and that's going to be the case because we live in a broken world. And there's going to be some people that just aren't able to come along for the ride and they fall off. It's unfortunate and it's hard. But if Jesus had people that left him, then we're going to have people that leave us. That's just the way it is. So it's easy to forget. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get lazy. It's easy to get apathetic and not fight for the middle. It's easy to just throw your hands up and go, it's just not worth it. It's easy to blame other people. But I want to encourage you to push forward and push to that space. Create that space. Make sure that space is there, that God is in the middle, that God has a place to dwell, and God has a opportunity to change your heart, to change other people's hearts. And I know when that happens, that we're gonna have our mind like, oh wow, that's, I never thought about that. Our pride is confronted by the holiness of God, and it can't maintain its posture when it comes into the presence of the Lord. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's in the middle of us. And that is one of the primary reasons when we get together, we sing. When we sing in a group like this, we're stepping out of whatever week we had, situation that's going on in our life. We're stepping into the presence of God. We're stepping into the presence of other human beings, and we're in close proximity to each other physically and spiritually. But the most important thing is, if we take our eyes off of ourself, we put our eyes on God. And that's the power of singing together in a group like this, is that we are laying down our identity and trying to prove ourselves. And we're putting our focus on God and making sure that it is Him that is the focus of all this, and that He is the author of our life. He's the one that had this great idea about earth. And even though darkness has come in to steal, kill, and destroy the beauty of God, that God is a great redeemer. And that He has come to redeem, and He doesn't start over from scratch. He takes broken things and He restores them to be better than they ever were to begin with. He can do that with your life. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet one last time. We're going to close with a song. We're gonna put this into practice today. But before we do, I want us to talk to God. Would you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And I want to rewind a little bit back to that covenant-keeping God concept. If you're listening to me today and you are outside of that covenant, and maybe you thought you were going to make it to heaven or make it into God's presence by, you know, the good works that you do. You know, you're a good person. You've done great things in your life. You've been successful. So surely you're going to get to heaven. When we look to a perfect and holy and righteous God, and we're honest with ourselves, it's very humbling, because in reality, there's a lot of parts of our life that are so far from His perfection and His beauty. So that doesn't leave us stranded. That doesn't leave us without hope. Instead, God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him, Jesus Christ, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Why don't we put our faith in Jesus right now instead of ourselves? Let's put our faith in Jesus right now instead of our accomplishments or our ability to impress people, our ability to impress God. Instead of that, instead of clinging to our own accomplishments, why don't we just lay those down and surrender to an all-loving, an all-forgiving, perfect and beautiful God who has done all the work for you. He's done all the work for you. All we need to do now is say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. I welcome you. Why don't we all do that right now? Just say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I want to hand my life to you. I surrender my life to you. My heart, my mind, my thinking, all of my past, my present, and my future. These are big words, Lord, and I don't totally get all of it, but today, I want this to be a new day. I want this to be a new me. Please forgive me. I recognize today that I am in need of a Savior, and Jesus, I'm professing you today. You're the Savior of the world, and you're my Savior. So we welcome you right now, Heavenly Father, into this place, the place of our heart. And everybody else that is struggling with that middle ground, maybe you feel isolated, you feel alone, come on and be with us. Come on and create middle space with us here at Promised Land. And let's make a commitment today that we're going to fight for it. And we're going to push for it. And we're not going to give up. But we're going to be a church that is constantly looking for God in the middle. Where's God? He's in the middle. He's in between us. Let's keep creating that space. And if you're ready for that, I want you to say, yes, Jesus, I'm ready for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's worship together.
Shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name
it all. He's right in the middle. Amen, amen. Man, we are so thankful that you have come today and got to worship with us, listen to the word, receive the word, and we're so grateful that we have a family here at Promised Land that loves Jesus. So as we go today, I just want to say thank you for everything you do for this church, for the city of San Marcos, and for Texas, for the world. We thank you so much. Please have a great day. Drive safe. We love you. Thank you, Promised Land.
I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about